liberty of being anywhere and everywhere. So God, David finds out here, this is saying God is omnipresent. There's not anywhere we can go that he's not. He says, I can go, in another translation of this verse, he says, I can make my bed in Sheol, which is translated to hell. David's saying, I can go to hell and you'd still be there. I can go to heaven, I can go to hell, you're still going to be there. I can't escape from you. So we can't escape from God. He is omnipresent, everywhere and anywhere, widely or constantly encountered, common or widespread. He's not common, but the property of being anywhere and everywhere. So answer to the title question, when and where we worship, anywhere and everywhere. Amen. That's it. Just kidding, just kidding. Okay, so now knowing that God is constantly everywhere at all times, we've kind of answered the title question, blah, 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 where it, when, and where do we worship? And that's, you know, everywhere and anywhere. But like last week, Angel taught that how we worship, we don't just worship with a song or a dance. It's not just blah, blah, blah. So I want to kind of get down into it a little more, because we kind of, in the same way, you know, people think how we worship is just singing a song on Sunday or doing a little dance on Wednesday night. In the same way, we get caught in the idea that we're only supposed to worship Sunday morning in church and Wednesday evening at church. But that's such a dangerous game to play. Because you ask yourself, does the devil only attack us Sunday morning at church and Wednesday evening at church? Does he? It's just ignorant to think that way. You're going to be, the Bible says, don't be ignorant to Satan's devices. I want to get into this. 1 Peter 5:8. I want to show you how the devil's in here. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Not just, it doesn't say just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Like you're in the clear every other day. As long as you worship on Sundays and Wednesdays, as long as you sang your song, did your dance, it doesn't say that. We need to be in a constant state of worship. We need to have a constant heart of worship. It needs to be a lifestyle. We need to have daily encounters with God. I mean, we're going to be looking at David a lot tonight. But David, let's just, we've probably spoken on David a lot this whole series. He's kind of the guy we go to with worship. But think about it. David worshiped when no one saw him, when he was nothing, when he was out with the sheep. You know, before he fought the bear, he was worshiping. Maybe he wrote that psalm before he fought the bear. I don't know. But he was out. Maybe he was out with the sheep. He's out with the sheep, watching the sheep. He's worshiping. And then, oh, dude. Okay, I was studying this week, and I was just like mind blown. So David worshiped when he was a shepherd boy, yeah? He worshiped when he was with the sheep, before he fought the bear. That's all he did. Then he takes his brothers who are on the battlefield. He takes them some lunch, yeah? And when he takes them lunch, he starts hearing everything about, you know, Goliath. There's all the Israelites are saying, oh, man, he's so big. He's so strong. He's a giant. He has a giant sword. He's going to do all that. He's going to work. We're doomed. And you know what? They're not wrong. They're honestly stating facts. Was he a giant? Yeah, he was a giant. Was he tall? Yeah. Was he probably strong? Yeah. These are all facts. They're not wrong, but they're facts. But David comes at it with a heart of worship here. So when David gets on the field, he doesn't do what everybody else was doing and saying, oh, my God, he's so big. He starts saying, no, dude, my God already has the victory here. I'm going to take your sword, and I'm going to cut your head off, and it's going to the birds. The victory is already mine. In other words, David is worshiping before he fights the battle, just like he did when he was a shepherd boy. That's what he knew. And then he goes to the battle, and he's just doing what he knows because he has that heart of worship. And then I think Shayla or Angel spoke on it last week with David celebrating. Who did that one? Was that you, Angel? Jesus Christ, we're all talking about David. So David, when he's a king, they get the Ark of the Covenant back. And now, so he's gone from shepherd boy to warrior. Now he's a king, and it's the same story. He's worshiping when he's celebrating, gets the Ark of the Covenant back, and he is just worshiping like it's nobody's business. And even when David is a king and he sins and he falls into sin there, he still is quick to repent. He's quick to fall on his face before God and have a soft heart. And I believe that's because throughout his whole life, he has that heart of worship. That heart of worship that he had when he was a nobody is still there when he's a king. And when he sins, because he's not perfect, he falls on his face before God and he has this heart of worship, and he's humble, and he repents. So that's just beautiful. But everybody's thinking, I never fought a bear. I'm not fighting a lion. I didn't fight a giant. I'm definitely not a king, yada, yada. So we're going to get into some practical points in our life, anywhere and everywhere, right? God's omnipresent. That's where we worship. But let's get into some practical points here. So first point, in the valley, a.k.a. the bad, in the valley, a.k.a. the bad, the storm, when your depression comes, when your anxiety comes, when you lost a loved one, whatever you want to, I don't know, whatever you want, just the bad, whatever, you personalize it to yourself, whatever your valley is, the valley you're in. So, oh, I have a story, scripture. Psalms 3. We're going to look at David in the valley. Oh, Lord, I have so many enemies. Okay, little backstory on this. This is cool. David's writing this when he's already king. So just because he's king doesn't mean he's not in the valley at times. Just because you got things figured out doesn't mean you're not in the valley. That's good. So watch. Psalms 3, and he's writing this. Do a little homework of yourself. He's writing this about his son. His son is trying to take the throne from him. It's, yeah, crazy story, dude. 2 Samuel. Anyways, okay. So, oh, Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. Next verse. So many are saying God will never rescue him. Interlude. But because he's writing it as a song. He's still that poetic little boy in the fields. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. Amen. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Interlude. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me. My God, funny translation. Slap all my enemies in the face. Slap them, sauce. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Old Sozo joke. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. Interlude. Was that it? Dang. We just went through a whole chapter. We did our daily Bible reading for the day. Good job, guys. So here, David's in his valley as a king, and he's still worshiping. I was reading the scripture, and I was just thinking about it, like, man, that's crazy, he's a king. But then I thought, maybe it's not so crazy, because everybody goes through their own struggles in life, yada, yada. But I was talking to my friend just like last week, 2 weeks ago. I thought I had the sermon kind of mapped out already, but like I said, God's still teaching me on this whole subject, and I was just like, whoa, that's a crazy revelation. But I was talking to my friend, and he was just telling me, you know, work's crazy right now. Work's been just the valley. You know, they're calling him in early. They're calling him in crazy hours. He's, you know, he has to stay late, yada, yada. And I was listening to it, and I was just like, man, that sucks. But I was also thinking, like, oh, man, that's kind of like, I could relate, because I was like, yeah, I'm going in early too right now. Anyone that's tried to hang out with me in the last few weeks, no. I'm pretty busy right now just with work. All I do is work and sleep. And I was, like, listening to him tell me all this stuff, and I was just like, whoa, this is, like, kind of what I'm going through too right now. I don't get lunch. I got to come in early. I don't get a good job, Tyler. Blah. It's all this crap. And I just told him, you know what, dude? After that crappy day you just had, you got to worship. That's the time to worship. When you're broken down and you're humbled there, that's the time where you need to be like David and declare, God's going to pull me through this season. And you know what? Another thing is, after I was thinking about, like, all this stupid stuff, I was just like, man, a lot of Christians, man, we're like the Israelites with Goliath when Goliath is coming up. Goliath is the, you know, Goliath is all our problems. Goliath sometimes is the valley. And a lot of times we just complain. We don't even complain. We just do what the Israelites did. We just state the facts. I'm not getting enough sleep. That's a fact. I don't have time for anybody. Yeah, that's a fact. It's just the facts. But you know what? For all the stupid complaints we have, it's just a better reason to worship. Amen? It just makes it a better reason to worship. And that's that worship in the valley is what's going to pull you out of the valley. And that's how we're going to get into the next point. Next point, on the mountain, okay, just valley, a.k.a. whatever, a.k.a. the good, the celebration, you get it, the good times in life. When God's pulled you through the valley, you're on the next point. I don't have any scriptures for this one because there's so many in the Bible and I just couldn't choose. So I'm going to tell you something that happened in my own personal life just this year. So beginning of the year, I was in financial turmoil, financial trouble. I owed people money. I didn't have money. I wanted money, but didn't have any. And I was overdue for a raise. Anyway, so I was just money problems all over. And I'm in the valley, like we just learned. I'm in the valley, and I'm calling out to God. I'm worshiping. I'm like, God, I need you to, you know, put me on a game show, or I need you to send some guy with one of those big checks and just give it to me, because that's kind of what I need. And I heard, and I'm worshiping, asking this, and I heard God speak so clearly, like, you don't trust me. And I was like, you got, that was for the guy next to me. I trust you, God. And he's like, no, you don't. You don't trust me with your tithe. I said, what are you talking about? I tithe. And then, again, I'm hearing this so clearly because I'm just feeling convicted. And I'm hearing, and it's in a worship. I'm worshiping when I'm hearing this, right? I'm in the valley right now. And I hear God says, where was I? Yeah, you don't trust me. You don't tithe. And I said, I tithe. And then he said again, no, you tithe when it's convenient for you to tithe. You tithe when you don't have a bill to pay. You tithe when you don't want to really go out with your friends that weekend. When you have money to spare, you tithe when you can afford to tithe. And I was just like, whoa, like caught red-handed, just totally convicted here. I'm just like, what am I going to say? That he knows everything. We saw in the beginning. He's everywhere. I can go anywhere. He sees it all. So I was just like, wow, God, you know what? You're right. I don't trust you, but I want to trust you. So I made a commitment there. I was like, beginning of the year, I'm not missing a tithe. I don't care if I miss a bill. I don't care if I don't go out with my friends. I'm going to tithe because I'm going to trust you first. So I start tithing, 10% from my paycheck every week. And surprisingly, I still paid bills. I still had money for gas. I still was able to go out with friends, yada, yada. But now I'm in this mindset of I'm going to tithe. I'm going to worship God through my tithe. That's just another way of worship there. So I'm worshiping God through my tithe now. And things are coming along, I'm still paying off bills. I'm still getting by. I'm, eating food, doing my life. And then Pastor Drew, my dad, he preaches a sermon on tithing too. Remember, I don't know who was there, but he had all the fries and stuff. And yeah, the fries were cold when I got to him at the end of it. Oh, Joaquin, yeah, you ate them. Must be nice. Anyway, so, yeah, I didn't tell my dad nothing about this. This was just between me and God with my tithe. Then he's preaching that on the tithe, and I'm like, okay, this ain't just a coincidence. And I'm already tithing, so I'm like, what are you trying to show me? I learned from just coming on Sunday to that sermon, tithing, us giving 10% back to him, it's already his. He's just seeing, okay, do you trust me? Here's $100. I'm going to have you give me back $10 next week. Do we give it back? That's just the trust thing. It's his money. It's his $100. Yeah. There I learned, wait, okay, so I'm just giving back his money here. But I don't want to just tithe just to show I trust him. I want to give more to show I love him. I want to give an offering to show worship. So that's what I did. I started giving my 10% and then just a little more, just a little bit of offering, just $50. It was an outdoor project, just whatever I could spare. I'm just going to give an offering, not just to show I trust you, but to show I love you, show my adoration for you, God. So now I'm worshiping God through my tithes and offerings, and I'm telling the truth here. I got random money, legit. That guy with the big check I was talking about earlier, might as well have just came up to my house and just given it to me. I didn't get any of the stimulus checks the previous year. And then all of a sudden, my mom comes to me, she's like, hey, you're going to get like 20 stimulus checks. I was like, 20? Wasn't there like six? He's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So I'm getting all this money from stimulus checks. And then I do my taxes, and I get, not a coincidence, this is just my God. This is just me worshiping God. I get the most I've ever gotten from my tax return. Crazy. I'm triple what I normally get. Triple what I normally, and I was just like, I'm not saying this to brag myself, like, oh, I'm balling. No, I wasn't doing that in January. I'm just saying that because my God is that good. I'm being David right now. I'm saying that because the victory was his. And I said that back in January when I was worshiping him. And now I'm really worshiping. Now I'm on the mountain now. Now, God doesn't change. His goodness doesn't change whether I'm on the valley or whether I'm on the mountain. But I can see his goodness on the mountain. I can see how great my God is. I know my God is good in the valley. On the mountain, when I'm celebrating, I can see God's goodness. You know what? After I got all that money, I tithed on it. I gave a bigger offering, and I went to Guitar Center, and I was like, I'm going to get a better guitar for the church because I'm tired of playing Angel's crappy guitar. I'm just kidding. Angel's good. But I was like, I'm going to get my own guitar. I'm going to get a cool guitar. It's going to sound cool. It's going to be a really high quality. And then I called Isaac and I was like, should I get an amp? Or what does the church need? What can I give back? This is my money, but I want to use it for a better purpose. I don't want to just spend it on League. I don't want to just, you know, whatever. I already tithed, I already gave my offering. I want to do something for the church with it. What can I do? He told me, buy pedals. I bought pedals. I bought a guitar. I bought a bunch of pedals, not knowing what I was doing. I was just like, okay, pedals. Put them in the basket. And then on the way home, I was just, I had some music playing, and man, I was just worshiping him because he's so good, and now I can see it. I knew it. I had faith that he was good. I trusted him back in January, but when April kicked in and I can see his goodness and he came through, I'm on the mountain and I'm just worshiping him because I'm just so grateful. I cried in my car and I worshiped all the way home. I cried. I was just, God, you are so good. I don't deserve it. I didn't trust you all last year. And now I trust you for 3 months and now you're coming through. Like, it's just so, like, I was just so torn. Like, I didn't deserve it, but God came through and I worshiped him on the mountain. Last point, and I'll close with this, the in-between. So, what is the in-between, actually? The in-between, it's not the mountain. Again, you guys are thinking, Tyler, I've never been on a mountain. I'm not in the valley. What the heck is the in-between? The in-between is in between the mountain and the valley. See, get it? Oh, yeah, I'm getting... Yeah, I went to college. So the in-between is just the daily motions of life. Just the, you know, not doing great, not doing bad. I'm not in the valley. I'm not in the mountain. I'm just going to church on Sundays. I'm just chilling. And the in-between is probably the hardest place to worship God. Because in the valley, you can say you're humbled by it. You're so torn down and broken. What else are you going to do but worship God? You're on the mountain, and it's like, wow, God's great. This is awesome. Of course, you should worship God. Like, you're grateful for it. But the in-between here is so it's so dangerous to get in because we just get in, like I said, the daily motions. We're just going to church on Wednesday, and we're going to church on Sunday, and sometimes we read our Bible, and it's a really dangerous place that we can get ourselves into. Oh, yeah. I was a little nervous. I wasn't nervous at all, actually, the last 3 weeks. But this week coming up, when it hit me, I was like, oh, crap, you're going to speak. And I was like, that's not really my thing. And I was thinking about it more. And but I prepared my message anyways. And yesterday, I was in my car. I got to work about an hour early. I was just having a daily encounter with God. I didn't have a reason. I'm in the in-between now. I got a job, that's cool. I'm working crazy overtime. Not getting appreciated for it. I'm just in the in-between. But I love coming to church after, you know, just the daily motions of life. And I was just in my car and just had an hour to kill. And I was like, I'm not going to watch the 900th TikTok before work. I'm going to do something a little more productive. And I just read in my daily chapter. I just put on some worship music. And I just had a moment with Jesus, just me and him. And I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't like, I'm going to go to work early. And I'm going to, this is the in-between part. I'm going to just work. worship and pour out my heart. But that's what the Holy Spirit just filled my car. I was just blown away with the Holy Spirit. Just like, holy crap, I cannot look a mess before work. I'm like bawling and I have to go in like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get made fun of because everyone's going to be like, Tyler's crying in his car. What the heck's that about? I don't care. In that moment, I didn't care who saw me. I was having a moment with God. It didn't matter who saw me. I don't care if my boss knocked on them and say, hey, you got to turn down your music. I'm like, hold on, I'm having a moment with Jesus here. And it's just those moments in those unexpected moments when you have a second to kill. The in-between is the car ride to work. The in-between is the car ride after work. The in-between is on the way to school when you're just listening, you have some headphones in. The in-between is when you're waiting to be picked up by your friends. The in-between is when you're being waited to picked up by your parents. You know, it's just whenever you have a moment. I was told by a mentor of mine, someone I really look up to, and he told me, you know what, don't be nervous. Just share what God told you. Just share your relationship with them. Just share what he told you. I heard that. I was just like, wow, instant peace. Just instant peace. I wasn't nervous anymore. I didn't know what I was going to say. I was just going to share what God told me to say. But God told me to say, there's never a wrong time to worship. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's never a wrong time to worship. But there's critical moments in life where it's so good to worship. That moment in the valley, that moment on the mountain, and all the little moments in between.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for sharing your relationship with God. You can get your coffee. I just want to speak on that last part that he talked about, you know, praying in his car and how what the in-between looks like. The in-between looks like, you know, just going through your everyday routine. And I promise you that almost every single leader who has experienced God in this room will tell you that the first time that they ever, like, felt God's presence in a tangible way probably was at church. But every time after that was in their own prayer closet.
Amen.
What is a prayer closet? A prayer closet is a time when you get alone with God. And I promise you, I've had many, many, many more encounters with the Holy Spirit and God, just like Angel, just like Tyler was preaching, you know, where I'm like crying in my car when it's exactly that, in my car. Like, I just put on his worship music and I all of a sudden felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, like, hey, Shayla, like, you know, you should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that. And it's just this real moment where it feels, and this is going to sound crazy to maybe some people who haven't experienced this before, it feels as if God is in the car with you. It feels as if the Holy Spirit is resting, just like we sang earlier, resting upon you. And you almost feel like, holy moly. Like, that's all you feel. You just feel like, I can't believe that the God of the universe is in my car right now or in my room right now. But every single time I've had a moment like that, and every single time a leader, raise your hand if you're a leader and you have had that moment in your own life. See, look at all the leaders in the room. They'll all tell you that was cultivated because they chose to put worship music on. That was cultivated because they chose to take the hour before work and turn off TikTok and say, okay, God, I'm going to worship you right now. It was a decision that they made of, I'm going to choose to spend time in the presence of God. Obviously, as in this worship series, we've learned that worship is not just putting on worship music. Worship is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Worship looks different. Worship could be dancing with our church family, but worship could be worshiping in your car. It could also be, worship could be deciding that I'm going to stop giving God the crumbs and start tithing. Worship, it looks so different, and really it looks like obedience. But every single time that you worship, it is a decision. It is, I'll turn this worship music on. I'm going to choose to not care what other people think of me, and I'm going to start dancing. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to choose to wake up early in the morning and serve. You know, whatever it happens to be, it's always a decision. Worship is always a decision. You never accidentally worship, ever. Ever. So I say all that to say that as we are wrapping up this worship series, you are now faced with a decision. Do you want to worship the rest of your life? Do you want to worship in this moment? Do you want to worship only on Sundays and Wednesdays? How are you going to decide to worship from here on out? Because it will be a decision that you have to personally make. Amen. And I promise you, if you make those decisions to spend time alone with God, that you will begin to experience encounters with God. But you have to make the decision to do that. You have to. And I really feel it on my heart to challenge you to this week, maybe don't continue watching that Netflix series. And when you get home from school, well, most of you guys are home from school. When you get done off the Zoom call, instead of clicking onto Netflix or whatever you like to be on, whatever social media you guys do or whatever, you know, game you turn on, whatever, just give God, it doesn't have to be a long time, but just give God 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and say, okay, God, I'm going to take this time to encounter you right now because I crave your presence. I remember I was an intern, I was working here. If you didn't know, I interned at this church for a little while before I was on staff. And I remember I was working 6 days a week, and sometimes, if everyone, I mean, all the interns can testify, sometimes it was 8 hours, sometimes it was 10 hours. It just depends how long of the day it was. And when I got, at the end of the day, because I was so, like, busy, kind of like the season that Tyler's in right now, I felt like I wasn't spending time with the Lord, and I would crave to get off work. Because I could not wait to get home in my room and just turn on worship music and spend time with him. Because I was working for him, but working for him isn't spending alone time with him. And so I actually missed his presence. And the more you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you will begin to miss him. Have you ever gotten close to someone and then you don't spend time with that person and you're like, man, I really miss that person? You can have that relationship with God. Did you know that? And I want to actually challenge the thought that maybe God misses you.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Maybe God misses you. And I want to challenge you to take some time this week and be alone with him. Turn on worship music, whatever it looks like. So I just want to pray that over us, God. God, I just pray that we would be a youth group that chooses to worship, God. That we would be a youth group that understands that worship is not just a song, it's not just a melody. But worship is obedience, and worship is action, and worship is what we choose to do as we express our love towards you, God. I pray that you would just help us to have that heart of, God, we want to give you our first. We don't want to just give you the crumbs. We don't want to tithe when it's convenient, or, you know, worship when it's the song we like, or, you know, maybe if I'm bored, I'll choose to put on a worship song. We want to be purposeful and diligent to worship you, God. And I pray that you would help us to live lifestyles of worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.